Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, this evening we hope to have with us Dr. Jerome Corsi, who really is doing more than anybody else I know to awaken the American people as to a very real looming danger of the loss of our national sovereignty, the loss of our freedom, and the destruction of America as you and I know it. And of course, things are moving at a very, very rapid pace now, because the internationalists, the globalists, the traitors, who control both political parties, are intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and merging us into a American Union, a North American Union, preparatory to merging all of the trade unions throughout the world, South America, Asia, Africa, European, and certainly the Arab. They're going to be setting these up in the Arab countries, all of the trade unions will be joined together, and that way they can establish the one world government that they have sought going all the way back to the time of Nimrod. And you may think that's sort of an absurd statement, and yet if you go to Europe today, and you remember, of course, the story of Nimrod and the unfinished Tower of Babylon, Nimrod could not finish this because God had intervened as Nimrod tried to build this gigantic tower where he would unite all the people of the world. And, when they were creating the European Union, they used a poster, and you can find it on the internet, of an unfinished tower, a replica of the Tower of Babylon. And that was the symbol that was used to create this whole idea of a European Union. And then you go to Strasbourg today, you'll see a replica of that unfinished Tower of Babylon. It is there because everybody who's behind the European Union understands their intent upon carrying out Nimrod's plan. That is what is going on in America. And the fact that most Americans don't understand the security and prosperity partnership, the implications of the NAFTA highway, the Trans-American highway that will divide our country in two parts, being built by a Spanish consortium at the expense of several hundred billion dollars, where they're using eminent domain to turn American property over to a Spanish corporation that is going to build the NAFTA highway so they can bring the goods from communist China and ruthless communist China into the United States and undercut what little manufacturing we still have here, and then take them up into Canada as we unite the North American hemisphere. Well, certainly nobody knows better what's going on than Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Corsi, thank you so very much for being with us again tonight.
Dr. Stan, a great honor to be with you. Thank you.
In fact, I was fascinated by a recent article you've written on the value-added tax and how the value-added tax is being used to subsidize production in other countries and undermine certainly the success of our exports here.
It's a little understood, but it's very important. I mean, the value-added tax is a tax that most other countries of the world impose, about 137 countries, and we don't impose it, but our goods suffer from it when we import them, when we export them to Europe. And Europe waives them when they import their goods to the United States. It's a remarkable disadvantage.
Why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about how this works? It is an incredible story.
It really is, Dr. Stan. The value-added tax is a tax that 137 other countries impose, and Europe does it. Let's focus just on Europe and China, both of which have value-added taxes. When a good is produced in Europe, this tax is added as production goes along. And at the last stage, if the good is exported to the United States, the value-added tax is rebated to the manufacturer. So let's take a car that's manufactured in Germany. It's going to cost $23,000 basically to get to market. The value-added tax makes it $26,000. When that car gets exported and brought into the United States, the value-added tax is gone. So it comes into the United States at $23,000. But when our car, $23,000 in the United States, when it gets exported to Europe, the value-added tax gets added on. And so now it's got a $26,000 tag on it. So our imports suffer from the value-added tax, like a tariff. And from Europe, their imports to the United States have a subsidy in the value-added tax being removed. And that means what's going to happen, what I'm going to start writing about, Dr. Stan, is that that's why one of the main reasons, a structural reason, why in our car manufacturers in Detroit are going to start, and they have started, closing down plants in the United States to make cars. They're going to go to China to make the car, which they won't pay the kind of Chinese income or other profit taxes they would pay in the United States. And the value-added tax of the good imposed by China will be removed when the car is imported to the United States, even though it's a U.S. manufacturer in China making the car. It'll still be considered a Chinese export. And so it will be tax efficient for U.S. car makers to make our cars overseas, not to pay U.S. income and profit taxes, and to avoid Chinese value-added taxes. It's like a tax-free way to make cars. And that's going to increasingly lose us even more manufacturing jobs in the automotive industry. When I was a kid, Dr. Stan, growing up, the automotive industry was the backbone of U.S. manufacturing. And buy an American car, until very recently, was something most Americans thought about. Well, today, you might not be able to find a car made in America.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Corsi. Well, Dr. Stan here, and Dr. Corsi is simply explaining how the value-added tax is added on to the cost of production in other countries so that a $23,000 car manufactured in Germany would cost $26,000 if it were to be sold in Europe and in the country of origin, which, of course, means the car is more expensive, and it discourages people in Germany from buying that car because it costs more. Now, but however, when that car that is exported to the United States, they give them a rebate of $3,000, so the car only costs $23,000 when it comes to the United States, so it is more competitive here. And, of course, our people are encouraged to buy because we can buy everything so cheaply. But in the process, of course, when our car gets to Germany, they add the value-added tax onto the cost. So our $23,000 car now costs $26,000 in Germany. And so it's really equally expensive as far as the European cars. So they discourage the consumption in the other countries. They encourage consumption here, which is why we have such a very, very low savings rate. We have a negative savings rate here. And, of course, we are accumulating massive deficits, over $800 billion deficit this year. And our largest single deficit is with communist China that is accumulating American money, has over $1 trillion of money in their coffers, and about 70% of that is held in the form of U.S. dollars. So what we're doing, of course, is creating a situation not only through the value-added tax and other things, but we're creating a situation where our manufacturers, it'd be far easier for them to go over to China to manufacture, and they don't have to worry about the unions, and they don't have to worry about the pensions and the health care. They get really slave labor over there, manufacture their goods, and then they can ship them in the United States without any tariff. The value-added tax works as a tariff for our goods going into other countries, and nobody wants to talk about it, do they?
So that's right, Dr. Stan. And China has got these structural unfair advantages. Labor, they actually have slave labor camps, political prisoners in slave labor camps. And at the end of the day there, they sell the organs. They kill the prisoners and sell the organs. It's shocking what they will do. And even in the people who get paid, they've got near slave labor, 20, 30 cents an hour, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 workers in these manufacturing compounds. And when they get to be 20 years old, they're fired, and another cheaper 20-year-old is brought in to replace them. China has a currency that is supported by the government. It does not freely float the way ours does in the international market. So Chinese currency is kept artificially low, which stimulates exports to the United States. At the end of last year, the end of 2006, we sent over to China five cabinet officers, including Secretary of Treasury Paulson, who I call Mr. China, because in his years in Goldman Sachs, all he did was get to be a godzillionaire by bringing over trade delegations and investing in Chinese enterprises, and plus the Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, because we were worried that with China having $1 trillion in foreign exchange reserves, $700 billion of which is held in dollar assets, half of that treasury securities to subsidize our huge budget deficits. Well, China, before Thanksgiving, China said, well, we might want to hold fewer dollar assets. That caused the dollar to plummet in world markets. Now, we sent all that powerful delegation to China to try to jawbone it. You know, Dr. Stan, what happened? Nothing. The Chinese listened politely, and they said, why should we listen to you, the United States? You've got the deficit. We're doing just fine.
And, of course, they're doing just fine because they're keeping their yuan artificially low, which makes our goods so much cheaper here in the United States. But the tragedy is, instead of putting a tariff on this like we should, because they're creating artificially low product or products and artificially low products, why, we're not going to do anything at all. In fact, some of the senators wanted to put a tariff on Chinese goods because it was unfair competition, and Paulson and Bernanke and the others would not allow it. And I believe, with all my heart, in fact, I am absolutely certain, the reason we're doing that is because there are people who do not believe in America. They're doing everything they can to undermine the economic fabric of our society, to encourage our corporations to move overseas as we progressively lower the living standards here. And it's all laid out in the Earth Charter. Anybody can read it. It is the plan for everything that's going on, written by three of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world today. But pick up the story there.
Well, Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. I mean, the issue is, and Americans have got to understand, that our relations with China is not free trade. Free trade is between equals without imposing tariffs. But, you know, we used to have anti-slave labor provisions in our free trade agreements. The Bush administration has taken all those out. They don't negotiate that. We're willing to lower our tariffs, not impose value-added taxes, let our currency float, all of which is to our detriment, and Chinese goods flood in here as a result, because Chinese have got all the structural advantages in these trade agreements. They're one-sided, not free trade. They're biased in China's favor. Now, the problem with that, Dr. Stan, is it's going to destroy American manufacturing and the American middle class. But you're right. There are billions of dollars to be made by Goldman Sachs and, you know, Secretary Paulson when he was at Goldman Sachs and all the other multinational corporations by selling out American labor, can't see the Chinese slave labor. My point is, Dr. Santa was morally wrong to use African American slaves, and it's morally wrong to use Chinese slaves, whether we can see them or not. And it's stupid, bad economics, because in the long run, China doesn't develop. China just becomes a very rich and a very poor society like Mexico. In the long run, the multinational corporations will just move to the next part of the world where they can exploit labor even more. Whether it's Malaysia or Indonesia or Africa, the multinational corporations don't care. They just want profit.
And perhaps they do have another agenda as well. Perhaps they believe in a world government, and this is a very, very efficient means of bringing about that world government. In fact, one only has to go back and study the history of how communism came to China in 1949. It was brought there as the direct result of American State Department policy when we undercut the nationalist government of Chiang Kai-shek and actually actively encouraged the government of communist China. The Chinese communists did not win the revolution. We gave them the government. We gave them the victory. And we have to ask ourselves why, unless perhaps there's a long-term plan that most people are unaware of. Anybody wants to challenge what I say, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the McCarran Committee report. Came out of the United States Senate in the early 50s. We make that available to our listeners who are skeptics who do not realize that the long-range policy of the American State Department has never been to benefit America. It has always been to undercut America and, of course, to increase the wealth of other countries, many of them totalitarian states, as we gradually impose increased tyranny here in America. Well, Jerome, let's get back specifically to the North American Union, because my understanding is that this is moving at a tremendous clip now. They're doing everything they can to rewrite the laws of our land, without the permission of the American people, our legislators, without even a treaty that allows them to do it. They're simply rewriting the laws of the United States so we can be peacefully merged with Mexico and raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Mexican peasant.
Well, that's right. Dr. Senator, if you take a look at the Security and Prosperity Partnership in North America, which was declared in Waco, Texas, March 23, 2005, by President Bush with Vincente Fox and Canada's then Prime Minister Paul Martin. That was not a signed treaty. It wasn't a law. It was just a press release. You know, if you go to spp.gov, sampeterpaul.gov, take a look at this, the Department of Commerce website, and it documents the 20 working groups, our shadow bureaucracy, bureaucrats from our country, from Mexico and Canada, working together to integrate and harmonize our laws with Canada and Mexico. It's gaining speed. If you take a look, I've got now the organizational chart. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and we posted these documents on stopspp.com. The organizational chart's a full-fledged government. It's got little boxes, the working groups, a working group for transportation, working group for the environment, bureaucrats from the three countries. United States, they report up the cabinet level, three cabinet secretaries. They report to Cabinet Secretary Rice, Department of State, Gutierrez, Secretary of Commerce, and Chertoff, Department of Homeland Security. At the next level, they report to the Homeland Security Council on the national security level. At the next level, the President. Now, that's an organizational chart of a new government. But the government is a trilateral government, a shadow government, the precursor to the North American Union.
And, of course, there would be similar then structures within Mexico and Canada, wouldn't there?
Exactly. Reporting to their ministers and their leaders.
And the amazing thing is they've been able to begin to merge our three countries without the knowledge or consent of the average American. In fact, most Americans don't understand. This is the end of national sovereignty. This is the end of our constitutional protection of freedom. This is the end of the United States as we know it. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we hope you'll go to stopspp.com. get the information, find if it's true, and then help us. Well, I understand there was a big meeting in Washington, D.C. here with Howard Phelps and a few of our other friends trying to do something about educating the American people about what's going on. What really did you decide on? What can be done at this time?
Well, thank you for asking, Dr. Sand. We had a meeting in the Capitol. We met in the Longworth Building. We had about 50 very, very prominent people coming together to form a caucus, a consensus, a new consortium to oppose the North American Union and the SPP. And we are moving to define a set of specific goals. You can take a look at Howard Phillips' website, which is conservativeusa.org, conservativeusa.org. You can find information about our last meeting, which was held a strategy meeting on January 29, 2007, at the Capitol. We came up with specific goals, such as to repeal NAFTA, and that would involve supporting Congressman Virgil Goode of Virginia, who's introduced House Concurrent Resolution 22, which would be a sense of Congress that we should withdraw from NAFTA. We are encouraging working with state legislatures to have resolutions that disapprove of the North American Union and NAFTA superhighways like the Trans-Texas Corridor. Some of the other specific proposals, the use of the American flag as a symbolic indication, a reminder of the national independence of the United States of America, which would be lost in the North American Union. Working with talk show hosts to get this message across, including talk show hosts which typically support Republican Party candidates, good or bad, and Republican issues, good or bad, and targeting shows including Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Medved to open their eyes to this being a bipartisan threat to our national sovereignty, Democrats, Republicans alike, to work with the congressmen Virgil Goode has also introduced House Concurrent Resolution 40, which is a similar version of his 487 of the last Congress, which is to oppose the North American Union and to oppose NAFTA superhighways and have the president come out and speak out against both. So this is a very much of a step-by-step active agenda to accomplish some political goals around supporting the congressmen and getting the American people mobilized to increase the awareness of the North American Union, the Amero, our new currency, which they're planning, natural superhighways, so we can organize to oppose these efforts.
Well, does anybody really think that George Bush is going to oppose this globalist program? That people who control him are globalists. And, of course, he's fighting the war in the Middle East as a great diversion. So we won't see what's going on here as our boys go overseas to fight for freedom. Why, we're losing our freedom here, and George Bush is, the people who control him are orchestrating that. Do they honestly believe that George Bush was going to come out against globalism?
George Bush will undoubtedly, Dr. Sand, like you indicate, resist all this to the final hour of his presidency. He's going to do everything he can to open our borders with Mexico. I've been writing extensively about these two Border Patrol agents who are in prison.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're just talking and chatting with Dr. Corsi about a recent meeting in Washington, D.C., where a number of conservatives got together, and they were going to encourage George Bush to come out against globalism. And I simply pointed out that George Bush is not going to come out against globalism because the people who control the Bush administration, and that certainly is not George Bush, but it is certainly Vice President Dick Cheney, who is an agent of the Rockefellers, member of the Rockefeller Trilateral Commission, the Rockefeller CFR, and Dick Cheney and the people he works with certainly are globalists. I mean, they've launched a great war in the Middle East as a distraction. So while we're watching what's going on overseas, in the name of fighting for freedom, we're losing our freedom here at home. And Dr. Corsi simply commented that he has written a number of articles recently about the Bush administration's attack on border security and the tragic fate of several courageous law enforcement officers, Border Patrol officers, who've been sent to prison as an object lesson for our other Border Patrol officers, so that nobody is going to try to protect our borders, because really the people in Washington, D.C. hate sovereignty. They hate America. Their goal is to unite the United States with Mexico and Canada. Why don't you tell us about the story of these two Border Patrol officers who are simply being used as pawns in this vicious game that is being played today to undermine the very sovereignty of our nation?
Well, it's a shocking story, Dr. Stan. These two Border Patrol agents, Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, in El Paso, there was a drug dealer that came across the border February 17, 2005. He was driving an Econoline van packed with 743 pounds of marijuana. And the Border Patrol saw the van come across. Sensors detected it. They suspected he was a drug dealer. They started chasing him, and he headed back to the border. He drove his car on the dirt roads down into the desert, got stuck on this levee, this ditch, in front of the Rio Grande. He got out of his car and started running. Well, agents Ramos and Campion caught up with him on foot. They struggled with him. Agent Campion had his hand gashed pretty badly. The drug dealer got up and started running again. They shot at him. He got escaped into Mexico. Now, the end result of this is that the two Border Patrol agents were prosecuted by Johnny Sutton, the federal prosecutor, the U.S. attorney in El Paso, and they're now serving in federal prison terms for 11 and 12 years each, respectively. And the drug dealer who got away to Mexico suffered a wound in his buttocks, which may or may not have been from the bullets the rounds that these two officers fired. But at any rate, he's found himself a lawyer in the United States, and he's going to sue the Border Patrol for $5 million for violating his civil rights. The two Border Patrol agents trying to enforce our laws are in federal prison for discharging their weapons, and the drug dealer is rewarded $5 million in a lawsuit that he's going to pursue for bringing these drugs into the United States and getting shot at.
Now, my understanding, he's also been rewarded by giving a green card. He's been rewarded by giving amnesty for his crimes, and he was even subsequently caught again to bringing drugs into America, and nothing was done about it.
Nothing was done, and Dr. Stan, the Department of Homeland Security went down and found the drug dealer, brought him back to an Army hospital in El Paso, and removed his wound, his bullet from him, at no expense. And the night it was removed, he stayed at the home of the Department of Homeland Security officer who brought him across the border to get the bullet removed.
And my understanding is this Office of Homeland Security officer is a longtime friend of this drug dealer.
Well, that's right. The whole family. I mean, there's ties here. One of the Border Patrol agents, Renee Sanchez, grew up with the drug dealer. Renee Sanchez is over in Wilcox, Arizona. The identity of the drug dealer got found out because the mother-in-law of Renee Sanchez, the Border Patrol agent, talked to the mother of the drug dealer, Davila, down in San Ysidro, Mexico. And they knew who the drug dealer was. They gave this information to Christopher Sanchez, Department of Homeland Security, and instead of prosecuting the drug dealer, which now Johnny Sutton could have done, because he knew who he was now, through independent sources, not the drug dealer's own testimony. He could have gone and gotten him and prosecuted him, but no. He sent Christopher Sanchez down there, and they gave the drug dealer immunity.
And, of course, subsequently he was caught doing another drug deal.
Another drug deal. Now he's going
to
sue. Now he's going to sue for $5 million.
But, of course, the thing is, they wanted to make an example of these Border Patrol officers.
Correct.
Who are just doing their job.
Correct.
And that has sent a chilling message to everybody working on the border. Don't do your job. Don't try to stop the people coming in with drugs. Don't try to stop illegal aliens, or you too could end up spending, the next 10 or 12 years in prison, and not in a minimum security prison. One of the people was recently badly beaten with the full knowledge and cooperation of the people in the prison, the federal prison. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Jerome Corsi, would you like to tell a little bit about the fact that the way that they've handled these men? Ordinarily, police officers are never put into a medium security prison, are they?
Well, that's right. Dr. Stan, this was shocking. This past Saturday, Officer Ramos from El Paso, put in the prison in El Paso, one of these two Border Patrol officers, was transferred to a prison in Mississippi. Great distance.
Now, why would they do that?
Well, it's a good question. It makes it much harder for his family to see him. His family does not have a lot of money. Now to see their father, three small children, and her husband, Monica Ramos has got to go from El Paso, Texas, every time she visits, to Yazoo, Mississippi, which is in the western central part of Mississippi. Now, on this past Saturday, and Ramos is in the general population, which, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, should never have happened. The prison population's watching on television America's Most Wanted, and the show runs a segment on Ramos and Campion. And Ramos is sitting right there in the prison population. Well, the illegal immigrants who are in the prison, there's a good number, including drug offenders, decide that when Ramos goes to sleep in his cubicle, they come around, five of them, in Spanish, assaulting him, kicking him, saying they want to kill him, beating him up, and for 48 hours, Ramos does not get medical attention. It's not until Congressman Rohrabacher and others bring attention to this issue. Even the White House is denying it happened.
But, of course, they have video cameras there. They know what's happening. The guards know what's happening. This could not have happened without the full support of the prison guards and the federal government at the highest levels.
You're exactly right, Dr. Stan. And I was talking to the White House, and the White House is denying this happened. Well, within an hour or two after I talked to them, they had to send me an email from the federal prison system, and this prison in particular, admitting that the assault happened.
So they're just lying at the national level. That reflects on the President of the United States, after all. He is the man at the top.
This is coming from the top levels of the government. And unfortunately, Dr. Stan, anybody who believes that, the President on these issues or think they're not being lied to is just being naive. I hate to say that. I voted for Bush twice. The problem is he's a globalist. And he's lying on these issues, and he's supporting Johnny Sutton.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Dr. Corsi has been talking about the tragic situation as far as this one of the guards who was taken from the federal prison where his family lived and transferred to Mississippi from a minimum security prison to a medium facility prison. And then, of course, put into the general population. And then, of course, he was accosted by five Mexicans, beaten. I understand he had severe injuries. And the White House is denying it happened. Of course, this could not have happened in a prison. They have videos. They have guards. They're monitoring everything that's going on all the time. So obviously they wanted to make an example of this border guard who was just doing his job to strike fear in the hearts of certainly every other border guard who may want to possibly do his job. Would you tell us what happened? Would you mind repeating for our listeners what happened when you contacted the White House about the mistreatment of this unfortunate bodyguard who's been targeted by our government to make an example so that no one else will try to enforce our laws?
Well, at first the White House denied it happened. The White House is lecturing me for writing an article believing the family that the attack happened. I'm gullible, believing the family. I said, no, I've interviewed people all my life, and these people, the family, were telling me the truth. Well, just a few hours later, the White House has to email me from the federal prison system a statement that came out of Yazoo, Mississippi, saying that, yes, the attack did happen. The assault on Officer Ramos happened, and he was not given immediate medical treatment, now in the infirmary. We don't even know today, Dr. Stan, how Officer Ramos is. Congressman Tancredo traveled to Mississippi to go visit Officer Ramos and see how he was, and we haven't heard yet how that visit went. I've been trying to call Congressman Tancredo all day while he was traveling. And yet the White House denied that it had happened.
Now, why would they lie to you?
Well, you know, I think because they wanted me to back off the case. They were trying to jawbone me to stop investigating. And, you know, that won't help. That won't happen. But then when, just a few hours after the conversation, the White House had to admit they were wrong and the attack had happened, you think Dr. Sand that would stop the White House from lying. But I don't think it'll make any impact on the White House at all.
Well, I think that because the great tragedy is that the American people are not hearing these stories now. Fortunately, because of WorldNet Daily, which has 5 million hits a day, where Dr. Corsi writes and tells these stories, the White House is furious that the American people are learning. And then Human Events has been carrying his articles as well. And let me suggest to you to go to WorldNetDaily.com and HumanEvents.com, pull down Dr. Corsi's articles, copy them and put them into a binder so you will have them, so you can begin talking about this and you can speak intelligently. We have to inform the American people and let them know that we have traitors at the national highest levels of our government whose loyalty is not to the United States but to this globalist dream of a world government. So pick up the story there, Jerome, please.
Well, and also, I understand all the stories, every article I've written on WorldNet Daily, Human Events, if you search my name, C-O-R-S-I, they're all free. They can be downloaded, they can be put into a binder, they don't cost a penny. Just the time to go to the websites and look at and read them. They're all up there for anyone to have, easily downloaded, easily reprinted, free. Now, when you look at what's happening to Ramos and Campion, these two Border Patrol agents in prison, the message that's sending to the Border Patrol and law enforcement all across the border, especially with Mexico, is, hey, if you're Border Patrol, you'd be better off to go to Starbucks all day long because you won't get any trouble if hundreds of illegal immigrants come across your border area, your sector, including with drugs. But if you start apprehending them, and if you apprehend them and decide you have to shoot at some of them because they're going to attack you, well then guess what? You, the Border Patrol, may end up in federal prison. The illegal immigrant's not going to end up in federal prison. You may violate their rights, though, their civil rights, because our laws are now stacked to protect the illegal immigrants, even when they bring drugs, you know, $1 million worth of drugs in a van into the United States. That's fine with Johnny Sutton. He did not. There was this. Tomorrow, my article in WorldNet Daily will say document that on the scene they found a cell phone from the drug dealer abandoned in the vehicle. You think that would have been enough for Johnny Sutton? If we watch CSI on the television all the time, that would have been enough for Johnny Sutton to find the drug dealer. But no, he didn't even investigate the cell phone. Nobody looked in that cell phone. The point was not to get the drug dealer. The point was to prosecute and discipline the Border Patrol, even if it meant taking two good officers, senior officers who've been there more than 3 years with good records, put them in federal prison. Okay. Just so that they don't harm the civil rights of a drug dealer coming across the border from Mexico with $1 million, 743 pounds of marijuana in a stolen 1989 Ford Econoline van.
All right, fine. And Chris Sutton is the federal prosecutor in the area, and the federal prosecutor is being used not to get the criminals, but the law enforcement officers. Now, Dr. Corsi, would you tell our listeners where they can get the information to verify this? What about with this website for the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and then, of course, the website for the NAFTA Highway? Because we want our listeners to be able to check these things out on their own and to realize there really is a plan for a massive highway that is going to flood our country with Mexican goods. And this highway is going to go all the way from the southern part of Mexico, the deep water ports there, all the way across America through Kansas City up into Canada. And, of course, this is going to then cut off our ports here on the West Coast, undermine the shipping on the West Coast, and, of course, begin shipping, transferring the major shipping in inlets to the United States and the central part of the United States into Mexico. It's all part of the plan to actually begin to raise the living standards in Mexico and impoverish the American people. Where can people get the information, Dr. Corsi?
Well, Dr. Stan, they should start a government website. The Trans-Texas Corridor, the NAFTA Superhighway, go see this 4 football fields wide new highway that's going to be built parallel to Interstate 35. It's on KeepTexasMoving.com. KeepTexasMoving.com. That's a website of the Texas Department of Transportation. And take a look at SPP, like in Sam, Peter, Paul, SPP.gov. And it's .gov. That's a government website. It's in the Department of Commerce, and it will document the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Look especially on the left hand, there will be tabs. Read the 2005 and 2006 report to leaders, and look at how the working groups are integrating and harmonizing our laws, creating trusted traveler, trusted trader, biometrics cards for Mexican trucks to come into the United States at will, Mexican trains and Mexican citizens with cards that will be biometric and as easy to use as going through a grocery store checkout with a credit card. So KeepTexasMoving.com, SPP.com, and then go to StopSPP.com, which is a website we set up with the Minutemen, and it's got the 1,000 pages we have gotten on our Freedom of Information Act request from SPP.gov. And those will show you the membership of the working groups, their memos, their organizational chart. Just spend some time and see these are government documents and government websites. Not a conspiracy. Conspiracy is in the open. Just take the time to understand that the infrastructure for North America Union, both in laws and on highways and configurations to open our borders, is happening right before our eyes.
And, of course, the thing is that the members of Congress, I know you've talked to them, members of Congress don't really seem to care, do they?
Well, many of them don't know. I mean, I've worked with both congressmen and senators and their staffs and had to sit them down in front of their own computers and show them these government websites. And they themselves were shocked because this is all being hidden in the open. It's on government websites. But yet the president hasn't come out and given speeches saying this is exactly what we're doing. The American people are being led, you know, they write myths versus facts sections on these websites. And they say, oh, this is just a highway for transportation. We need to have new highways. We're growing and expanding. But yet this interstate, this new Trans-Texas Corridor is going to be operated by Spain, Cintra, investment consortium in Spain. End up paying Spain to travel from San Antonio to Dallas. It's not going to help congestion in Interstate 35 in Dallas. It doesn't even connect to Interstate 35. It goes around Dallas. And it connects down into Lazaro Cardenas, in a port in Mexico, because the real plan is to bring all these containers from Far East and China up through Mexican trucks and Mexican trains through Laredo, Texas, just with biometrics and radio frequency identification chips. So you get a fast lane, in the trucks come, in the trains come, in the people come. And on the Trans-Texas Corridor, when it's built, right now Interstate 35, they'll end up headed right off to Kansas City. Kansas City Smart Port, a trade organization, is going to put a Mexican customs office in the heart of America, right in Kansas City.
And, of course, this whole thing is being, of course, financed by hundreds of billions of dollars. Billions, not millions, billions of dollars coming from Spain. They're going to own this. They're going to get the controls on it. It's not going to benefit the United States. it's going to benefit the globalists. And even more shocking, we heard today, and I wonder if you'd heard anything about it, that somebody had come in and bought up a lot of the local farm newspapers, which were trying to warn the people of Texas about what was going on, and somebody had bought a lot of these papers. Had you heard that story?
Yes, I wrote a story about it, Dr. Stan, in WorldNet Daily. They're being bought by Macquarie, which is an investment consortium in Australia. It is also buying the highways in the United States, the highway infrastructure. The Federal Highway Administration, just take a look at their website, just search PPP, three P's, stands for Public-Private Partnerships. That's a plan to sell our highways to international consortiums and our infrastructure all across the United States. And in Texas, Macquarie, which has invested both in the Chicago Skyway and in leasing the Indiana Tollway, Macquarie's come into Texas and bought these small newspapers which were opposing the Trans-Texas Corridor.
So the freedom of the press means you have the freedom to suppress information if you control the press?
That's right. They can, if they own the newspapers, change the editorial content. Yeah. Who's going to stop them?
And this is exactly what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. They are fearful. The American people are going to learn what this is about. And what is it about? It's about lowering the living standards of the people in this country, impoverishing our people, taking us down to a third world nation. We won't own our infrastructure. We will not own our highways. We will not own our bridges. We will not own our factories. In fact, almost 25% of our major manufacturing factories like Westinghouse and others are not owned by Americans any longer. They've been purchased because of our tremendous trade deficits. And that old slogan, buy American, that's exactly what they're doing. They're buying up America with our own money and transferring the wealth of this country to other nations. Very, very wealthy people in other nations. Jerome, the story is so incredible, most people find it hard to believe. This couldn't really be happening, could it?
Well, that's why, Dr. Stan, it's so important people go to the government websites and see it for themselves. Just take some time, read the articles I've written. They've all got links in them. WorldNet Daily, Human Events. Just check my name, CORSI, and go to websites like SPP.gov, KeepTexasMoving.com. Go to this trade organization, NASCO Corridor, NASCO Corridor, all one word, like a Nancy, Alpha, Sam, Charlie, Oscar Corridor, all one word, NASCOCorridor.com. NASCO stands for the North American Super Corridor Coalition, and it's designed to take Interstate 35 and to develop it and refine it, including the Trans-Texas Corridor and the Mexican Customs Office in Kansas City, to make it a NAFTA superhighway, connecting Mexico and Canada together through the United States of America, right in the heart of the United States.
Somebody just called in and said, see, aren't there any laws at the federal level to keep other countries from buying up our roadways and buying up our bridges and buying up our utilities and buying up our factories? And maybe we ought to prosecute them for treason. How can you prosecute them for treason? The people who are doing this are the people who control the Justice Department and control the courts.
And Dr. Stan, George H.W. Bush signed an executive order which put our infrastructure up for sale. The public infrastructure is not just highways, not just bridges. It's schools, water departments, prisons. Any public utility or other infrastructure can be packaged by the investment bankers after George H.W. Bush signed this executive order, and it can be sold to foreign investment interests.
There was one of the globalists wrote some years ago that in the final stages as they moved towards the world government, they were going to have to run naked towards the finish line because it would be so obvious to the American people what was happening. But their ultimate goal is a dictatorship here in America. Why do you think that they're building all those new concentration camps and refurbishing the old Japanese concentration camps and passing the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act? And if you don't know what they are, you better find out in a hurry. We'll tell you at the end of the program how to get more information on the items we've just talked about. But, you know, I believe there is a growing awareness, and I know that Dr. Corsi probably single-handed has done more than any person I know to bring this out. In fact, every time I call him, even at the last minute and ask him to come on, he's always very gracious about coming on our programs. And I bet you're doing a lot of radio work, aren't you, Jerome?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing 5 or 6 hours a day, and it's my honor and pleasure to be on your show tonight.
Well, of course, I do 5 hours a day, but you're talking to different audiences, and I appreciate everything that you're doing. Well,
that's in addition, Dr. Stan, to trying to write every day and publish new material. And it's just a great honor to have the opportunity to be on your show and explain to the audience in person through radio what these ideas are about so they can go see it, read it themselves. The articles I'm writing, the books I'm writing, check the links, look at the footnotes, you'll see it's all validated, it's all there.
And of course, one of the books we do carry is called Minuteman. That's Minuteman, and written by Dr. Corsi. And then, of course, we have a number of interviews with him, and we'll tell you more about getting that in just a very, very few minutes. But if you're out there in the listening audience across America, you've got to get the information, you've got to become conversant with it, you've got to learn how, in a very calm manner, to tell other people what's going on. But fortunately, they put up the websites. I would pull them down, copy them, just along. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, as I said, all that we're talking about, the North American Union, the battle to secure our borders, the injustice done to agents Campion and Ramos. Go search WorldNet Daily and Human Events. Search my name, Corsi. The articles are there. They're free. Look at the government websites, spp.gov, keeptexasmoving.com. Get conversant with the Trans-Texas Corridor, the customs office in Mexico, for Mexico being built in Kansas City. Security and Prosperity Partnership working groups and how they're integrating and harmonizing our laws with Mexico and Canada. I'm going to continue writing books, Dr. Stan. The Minutemen, the Battle to Secure America's Borders with Jim Gilchrist tells the story how wide open our borders are and the invasion coming in from Mexico. And I'm finishing this month in February to be out in spring 2007, a new book on the North American Union. And I'm honored to be on your show. I thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Stan, to get this message to Americans so they go read and understand and see the information themselves and look at government websites that are linked so they can see it's all there, it's all true.
Well, God bless you for everything you do, Jerome, and we'll be talking to you hopefully in the not-too-distant future. I always look forward to reading your interviews, reading your articles there on WorldNet Daily, and, of course, Human Events. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, it's late in the East Coast because Dr. Corsi lives in the East, so it's just about midnight there. But he's gracious enough to actually come on. I called him this afternoon because we had a cancellation. He was willing to come on with us. He's dedicated to getting the information out. Are you dedicated to getting the information out? Do you realize we're talking about the demise of the United States of America as a sovereign nation? Do you really understand the implications of the effort to destroy the value of our currency, to destabilize our society, to convert us from what we were into a multicultural, multilingual society? This is what it's all about. This is why they object to having English as the official language of America. They want to be able to play one group against the other. They are encouraging the gangs. Certainly, they want a state of violence in America because they realize that when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty, and the people will plead with our leaders to establish a dictatorship so we can once again have a stable society. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all planned by very evil men. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I hope you enjoyed our conversations with Dr. Corsi. Let me remind you, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help to be able to maintain the network we have of almost 60 outlets every single week. You can listen to our program 5 hours a day on the Internet on one of another networks. Just go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can actually hear 3 hours live or archived or on MP3, and then access the other two websites where other two networks are on. Then, of course, you'll want to get, you can listen to our programs 4 hours a day on shortwave, 9 hours a day on satellite, although I don't think very many people are doing that, but that's a Telstar 5, and you can get, of course, the apparatus for that very economically. But we ask you to seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us as we reach out across America. Then, of course, we want to mention, of course, some of the items we carry. We actually have a video. It's David Rockefeller talking some years ago. He's the major architect behind this, the man who is really funding all of this, he and his family. And of course, he's really the wealthiest man in America, but they're never going to tell the American people that. You're supposed to believe it's Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But the Rockefeller family fortune dwarfs Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. That's just pocket change. But this has been known, was known 100 years ago. It's not known today. But we have David Rockefeller giving a talk on American Union 2005. Now, fortunately, the plan didn't come to pass, but you can hear him talking about it. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Minutemen, written by Dr. Corsi. That's The Minutemen. We have a four-tape set on the Military Commission Act. This goes into the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, and it's really a blueprint for dictatorship. It was passed last year. It repeals the Posse Comitatus Act. It allows them to arrest people and put them in prisons. They say it doesn't apply to American citizens, but since you have no right of habeas corpus and the courts can't intervene, how would you ever prove you're an American citizen? And they've lied about everything else. Why should they be telling you the truth about this law? Oh, this would never affect American citizens. Of course it would affect American citizens. They're listening to everything you say. They keep saying, why, of course, we want to respect privacy. Your cell phone has a little switch in there, and any time they want, they can just flip that. You don't have to be talking on your cell phone. They can listen to your conversations. The same with your telephones. The same, certainly, you know, they've been listening to your live conversations and reading your emails and faxes for many years under something known as Project Echelon, E-S-C-H-E-L-O-N. I want you to go up on the Internet and look up Project Echelon. We do have a wonderful book on Echelon and the National Security Administration's illegal program, which has been going on for at least 20 to 25 years. And when they say, oh, this is only about terrorism, they're lying. They're using terrorism. If there was a threat from terrorism, they would have sealed our borders immediately after 9/11. They know there is no threat from terrorism. It's all a scam. And if you doubt what I'm saying, get the September 2006 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine and read the lead article, which is entitled, Why Haven't They Hit Us Again? You need to get our four-tape set on concentration camps. They're ready. They're refurbishing the Japanese concentration camps with $38 million because they never want us to forget how terrible it was to put Americans into concentration camps, and giving Halliburton $385 million to build new concentration camps. Why would they do that if they think it's a terrible thing to put Americans in concentration camps? You can verify what I'm saying by going on the Internet and Google in Halliburton, $385 million concentration camps. And then, of course, we have our four tape sets going into so many other issues. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We have a great deal of material on globalism. It's all part of a master plan, but behind that are powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll be right back. this is Dr. Stanback here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And our views, our guest this evening is Patrick Wood. And Patrick was with us this afternoon. He's good enough to come back again this evening because Patrick, well, he's been at this for an awful long time. He's dedicated, as I am, to getting the truth out. He attended the same meeting in Washington, D.C., where Dr. Corsi attended, trying to get information out across America about the treasonous plan of the traitors working at the highest levels of our government, who have swore to uphold our Constitution and laugh at the concept of them. They don't believe in a Constitution. They believe in elite ruling. They believe in a feudalistic system. And they are working very rapidly. They're racing towards the completion of an age-old plan. And in fact, if you were to read President Bush's second inaugural address, given on the 20th of January, 2001, he talked about 20th of January, 2005, forgive me, 20th of February, 2005. President Bush talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, and then he had a couple of phrases there, when our men fell row on row in pursuit of a union based on liberty, when our citizens marched in righteous outrage beneath the banner of freedom now, they were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. But you have to understand esoteric writing. Esoteric writing is how you confuse people. You put a lot of things in the middle so you really can't figure out what they're saying. But what President Bush said, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled? The new order of the ages. What is the new order of the ages? The Novo Ordo Seclorum, encaptured at the base of the pyramid on the back of our dollar bill. If you doubt that, go up on the internet and simply type in, Google in New Order of the Ages, and you'll come up with Novus Ordo Seclorum. Everybody in the elite understands that. You common folks are not to understand. There is a plan to create a world government. It is being done in stages. They've already united Europe. They have these trade unions in Africa, in Asia, in the Arabic nations. They have them in South America. They're forming the North American Union here. And, of course, once the countries have given up their sovereignty, the plan is to unite them all into a one-world totalitarian state under our new feudal lords. Well, certainly, Patrick Wood has been on the front lines of this battle since the late 1970s, when he wrote a book with our good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton, entitled Trilateralists Over Washington. And many years ago, these were very well-known books, and actually they're up on Patrick's website now. But I'm going to let Patrick tell you about the globalist plan for world government and how it's being carried out today through the mechanism of creating a North American Union, a security and prosperity partnership. Patrick, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me on again.
Well, this is a different audience, so you don't have to be bashful, and you can repeat some of the things we said this afternoon.
Absolutely.
All right, fine. What is the security? Well, we're going to just take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with Patrick Wood. We'll talk about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, about the Trans-NAFTA Highway, about the NAFTA Superhighway, and many other things. Well, Patrick, you pick up the story and take it from there.
Well, the since you mentioned the Security and Prosperity Partnership first, it would be wise to give your listeners the government website for that. It's spp.gov, and www, of course, first, and then spp.gov, and they'll find the Security and Prosperity Partnership Department that sits underneath the Department of Commerce. It reports in a chain of command to President Bush, ultimately, and they are indeed engaged in normalizing relations, regulations between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And even though we can't lay the complete North American Union at their feet today, we can lay that at the feet of the so-called father of the North American Union, whose name is Dr. Robert A. Pastor. And Dr. Pastor is a longtime academic. He was a protege originally of Zbigniew Brzezinski back in the 70s. And in fact, he was he's known now as being the father of the North American Union because he's the one that's been pushing it mostly in the last few years. And he also pushed the and proposed the Security and Prosperity Partnership that President Bush entered into with the heads of state of Mexico and Canada. And so Dr. Pastor is the one to be looking to for, you know, for guidance, if you will, on the North American Union. And as far as I'm concerned, this man is misguided, to say the least. He is the man, by the way, who in 1974 was executive director of the famous Linowitz Commission that ended up giving away the Panama Canal. That was back in 1976 under Jimmy Carter. Robert Pastor was the executive director of the Linowitz Commission, which, of course, was staffed by six members of the Trilateral Commission. And he actually wrote the document, the policy document, that created the government's reason to give away the Panama Canal, as negotiated away by Saul Linowitz, who is a member of the Trilateral Commission as well. This is Dr. Robert A. Pastor that we have today repeating on us like a bad bell pepper. And here he is today pushing the Security and Prosperity Partnership. I'd like to interject just a piece of trivia, by the way, that the name for the Trilateral Commission, which was founded in 1973 by Brzezinski and David Rockefeller, the original name proposed for the Trilateral Commission, it was not selected as a name, but the original name that was proposed was the International Commission of Peace and Prosperity. That was in 1972.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Patrick Wood. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Patrick Wood from the August Review, and he's right on top of so much of what's going on. He's probably one of the few people who know more about the Trilateral Commission than I do, but I've always loved to read the material he has on it. I've learned a great deal from him. And he was simply talking about a man, Dr. Robert Pastor, who is really sort of the father of this whole idea of the North American Union, and of course very closely affiliated with the Trilateral Commission, and has worked very intimately with these people over a period of years. Patrick was saying that the original name of the Trilateral Commission, before it was ever really created and they called it the Trilateral Commission, was, what was the name?
The International Commission of Peace and Prosperity. And that name was not chosen, of course, but that was the name that was floated around in Europe by David Rockefeller before he met up with Brzezinski. They chose the shorter name, Trilateral Commission, when they actually founded in 1973. But the reason I mention that, Dr. Stan, is to point out that the Security and Prosperity Partnership, as well as the North American Union, is purely a Trilateral Commission policy that was set from day one in 1973 when the organization was founded. We stated this for many years and many papers and so on, that the movers and shakers behind the move to globalization in North America, especially in North America, are the Trilateral Commission, the people that belong to the Trilateral Commission. NAFTA was purely a Trilateral Commission event. When NAFTA was first negotiated by George Bush, and then a member of the commission, by the way, and then passed by Bill Carter, Bill Clinton, and Clinton was also a member of the Trilateral Commission, And the NAFTA agreement was negotiated by Carla A. Hills, who was also a member of the Trilateral Commission. And now we have Dr. Robert Pastor coming to us, giving us the final plan, which is merging the United States into Mexico and Canada to create the North American Union.
And they call it a building in North American community about 2 months after the meeting in March of 2005 there. I think it was in Waco, Texas, between President Bush and Paul Martin,
time
Premier of Canada, and Vicente Fox of Mexico. About 2 months after that, in May of 2005, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is really the coordinating organization that works sort of a subsidiary with the Trilateral Commission, came out with a book called Building a North American Community, and attributed this whole idea to the meeting 2 months earlier. And then sort of laid out this idea, we are going to have really one community, a North American community. They're not talking about eliminating the United States. But if you read between the lines, that's what it's all about.
Exactly so. And this has been their goal from the beginning. We see it coming to fruit now. We see the same old, worn-out policies that were put forth in the early 1970s, virtually without change, I might add. And we see them coming back again and again, and if they don't make it in one direction, they just kind of sidestep to the left or right and go at it again. But the North American Union, as being proposed now by Robert Pastor, is merely an extension of NAFTA to create a common, trade bloc, and ultimately a common bloc of governance as well, like the European Union was done incrementally as well over a period of years. Started out merely as a trade organization, but then as time went on, the rest of the plan was laid out. And now they have a European Union government, which supersedes all of the governments of the individual nations.
In fact, I remember back in 1992 when NAFTA was being considered. And it was fascinating. David Rockefeller wrote an editorial for the Wall Street Journal at that time, stressing the importance of getting the NAFTA treaty through.
Yes.
And he commented, we have been waiting for 500 years for this to come about. And I'm sitting there reading this article. This is 1992. We have been waiting 500 years. What in heaven's name is he talking about? And then you think 500 years ago, 1992, 1492, why, that was when Columbus discovered the Western Hemisphere. And, of course, there are people who've had this ancient dream, really, of bringing about a world government.
Yes.
And the fact he would make that statement, we have been waiting, he never said who we were, we have been waiting for 500 years. And this was stressing the importance of NAFTA. I would love to get a chance to ask him what he really meant.
I would too. My guess is that there is some esoteric meaning to what to statements like that, because we've heard others like Bush has made comments that that span hundreds of years, and you wonder what the heck is he talking about.
I think that there really is a master plan, but of course the insiders understand that we common people are not to be allowed to know.
Basically, that's it. We're not part of the enlightened ones who are were able to craft the world into something else, and so we're basically cannon fodder.
Well, let's go on, of course, to this. Robert Pastor has written even about doing away with the American currency and replacing it certainly with a North American currency he called the Amero. In fact, my understanding is recently he was interviewed by Dr. Jerome Corsi and really couched his remarks in very carefully, but it was quite obvious reading that interview, he's still intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation.
Well, absolutely. And I'm quite certain that Pastor had something to do with the original policy of suggesting the Amero, but the actual word Amero appeared as a result of a Canadian academic who suggested it as early as 1999. This is before Pastor really unveiled his, North American Union concept to the world. Before his book Toward a North American Community, and The concept of the Amero has been kicking around for some time, and that's simply because, basically, you know, globalists have been thinking about uniting, you know, just about the trade possibilities of uniting Mexico, Canada, and the United States for a long time. And, you know, a common currency makes a lot of sense. I mean, anybody with a brain would figure, you know, if you're going to do this, you've got to have a currency that's good in all three countries. Otherwise, it'd be mass confusion.
Well, what's this going to do to the sovereignty of the United States? What's this going to do to our laws, our ability to govern ourselves as we have traditionally? What will it do to our constitutional guarantees of the right of habeas corpus or the right to a trial by jury? Certainly, they don't have the same rights in Mexico we have here. How can you join the countries and preserve our freedom?
Well, basically, our laws and our regulations that we have that control our country, our laws will be trumped by a higher law, that is, by a law of treaty or agreement or simply regulation between the countries. When the SPP says they're going to normalize normalize regulations between the countries, what they mean is they're going to make our regulations compatible with Mexico and Canada simultaneously. That means we have to be watered down to meet their level where we're compatible with what they're doing. Now, a good example of that in practice here, in Canada, you have a very high amount of regulation where the government follows the doctrines, if you will, or the regulations that control medicine and that control the food supplement industry. That document, the international document, is called the Codex Alimentarius, and that document is not honored in America, it's not followed in America, but when they're done normalizing regulations, the Codex will apply to America lock, stock, and barrel. That essentially will cut off the supply of food supplements, vitamins, the other things we take that support alternative medicine. And it basically is going to just force Americans into taking the drugs and so on that are available from Big Pharma. if you want any kind of help physically, you'll just have to, go to a medical doctor and take the drugs that they decide to prescribe to you at very, very expensive, exorbitant rates. Using the insurance policies and everything else that they push at you, you'll be a victim of the healthcare system with no recourse.
Well, of course, another thing that bothers me is that Canadians have very, very strict laws. In other words, that there they have laws where you cannot even talk about how homosexuality is wrong. Now,
that's
I believe
right.
If you care about homosexuals, you're going to tell them what you're doing is wrong. It's going to kill you.
Yes.
It's against God's rules. But, I mean, that's illegal to say that up in Canada.
That gets you arrested in Canada right now. You also can get arrested for spanking a child, your own child even, if the child is misbehaving. In fact, Canada by and large is a very socialistic country. So they're very socialistic minded, and we don't want to live under Canada's rules and regulations. Canadians do not want to live under America's rules and regulations either. I have to throw that in fairness for them. They don't want any part of us any more than we want any part of them.
Well, I think that, of course, a lot of the Canadians there do not like a lot of the laws that they have up there. And we talk to Canadians all the time who listen to our programs who are really very, very concerned about what's happening to their country, as they realize that every time you pass a law, you take away a little freedom, and they got so many laws up there in Canada, there's not much freedom left.
Yes. Well, I think they see pretty clearly, maybe even more clearly than we do, because the press is a little bit more open up there to tell the story. They understand that the people who are pushing this union, this North American union, are not the people. It's the multinational, the transnational corporations supported by the likes of the Trilateral Commission and members of the Trilateral Commission, for instance. This is the group that's pushing this for their own pecuniary profit. It's for their purposes, not for our purposes. It has nothing to do with the good of the people whatsoever. It has to do with profit. It has to do with plundering and pillaging, if you will, a complete continent until it's just sucked dry of its wealth.
And
when they're all done with us, they're just going to spit us out like a bunch of dry bones and leave us to our... to lick our wounds.
And of course, we'll be like it is in Mexico. You have a few people of great wealth, and they have everybody else, majority of them, living
exactly
in poverty.
So.
Well, Patrick, let's talk a little bit about this meeting you attended, and really what are some of the ideas that came out of this? I know there's some of the leaders, conservative leaders of the United States there, but so it was rather encouraging to know that there is a growing movement, a growing awareness, and a growing effort to try to let the American people know the truth about what's going on. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. For the dark days that we had, where we were still, you know, just going very blindly trying to get the word out about the North American Union and this SPP.gov business, I only had a hope that there would be some Americans somewhere that would get this information and begin to take action and rise up, and you know, people that knew how to do that sort of stuff would come to life and do something about it. I'm not a political organizer. You know, I'm not an activist in that sense. I'm just a researcher and a writer. That's all I do, is just tell what I find out. And it's good to see organizations across the country come to life on this and unite together. And that's what this meeting was about in Washington. It was called the Coalition to Stop the SPP. And it was headed by people like Howard Phillips, the founder of Conservative Caucus. Jerry Corsi was one of the, Dr. Corsi was one of the first signers on that as well, the organizers. There were some others, the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly's nationwide organization was represented there. People like that, heads of organizations, came to this meeting in Washington to pledge their support for this coalition to stop SPP. And there was about 25 organizations there, and I know that there's other people that are being talked to, other organizations, to be to come in and join into this coalition. And my guess is it's going to be a very effective coalition before it's done, because everybody was in perfect agreement when they left the meeting. There was 24 action items that were put up as strategies to defeat the SPP, to knock it back 100 years if they could. And there's no guarantee, but, it's a start, and it's a good start. I'm glad to see that. But they're not the only organization that's been active on this, Dr. Stan. The Phyllis Schlafly's organization is mobilizing nationwide with all 50 state chapters of Eagle Forum, getting ready to mount, state pushes to educate the state legislatures and people in their governments. And we see other independent organizations around the country that are also taking a stand. There is life. There are things coming to life now. And so the battle line has been drawn. There's a lot of activity, by the way, down in Texas, where the NAFTA Super Corridor is being built through Texas. It's called the Trans-Texas Corridor right now down there, but it's part of a bigger link that will link Kansas City with deepwater ports in Mexico, transporting NAFTA merchandise and so on up and down through the United States into Canada. And Texas is also rising up right now. There's the people down there are getting really hot about this NAFTA super corridor business, which is an integral part of the infrastructure that will unite the three countries under the North American Union.
Well, I think, of course, one of the things is that the governor down there, the Republican governor, is really betraying the people. He's really sold out to the globalists, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I can't say he's 100. He's 120% in the pocket of the global cabal. And
hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick is really talking about the fact that there has been a meeting a week or two ago back in Washington, D.C., when leaders of various conservative movements got together to try to get the truth out about this plan to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, and, of course, working through the Security and Prosperity Partnership, building a North American community, undermining the sovereignty of our nation, really working to merge the United States with Mexico and Canada, as they say, building a North American community. Sounds very good, but it's really to create here in the United States what they have done in Europe, a European nation, the European Union. They want a North American Union. They lied to get it into Europe. They're lying about what is going on here. But what would you expect from people who have a different worldview? They see nothing wrong with lying. They lie to us all the time. And, of course, they're lying about their objectives. But what they really want to do, as they wanted to do in Europe, was to destroy the sovereignty of the individual nations and simply take away their ability to govern themselves and bring them under the control of a parliament without the control, without the consent of the European people. And that's what they intend to do here in the United States. But they can't let the people know what they're up to. And of course, what's exciting is the fact that there is, a growing awareness, I believe, all across America. Now, Patrick is saying that down in Texas, where, of course, about 1 million acres of land is going to be seized under eminent domain and given to a private corporation, not even an American corporation, a privately owned Spanish consortium that's going to spend several hundred billion, billion dollars to build the Trans-NAFTA highway. So what's going on in Mexico? What is happening down there? Is there an effort? There must be a very successful effort going on because an Australian consortium has come in and bought up all of the little family or small newspapers there, which have been telling people what's going on. Now, of course, they want to silence information so people will not be able to know what's going on. My understanding is they bought up most of these small newspapers, and this is a group that's tied into the people who are building the highway. In other words, control access to news, control the opposition, and then you can keep the people quiet. After all, they're not smart enough to know what's really good for them. What's going on there from your point of view in Texas?
Well, clearly the battle line is in Texas right now, Dr. Stan. And my advice to any American is this is a day when we need to rally to Texas. That's where the heated action is going to take place as the global elite attempt to begin construction on the NAFTA corridor, which is a corridor that will range from deep water ports in Manzanillo, deep in Mexico. This corridor will come up through Texas, through Oklahoma into Kansas, and then on into Canada. And this stretch of ground will be 1,200 feet wide. It will have freeways in both directions, of course. It will have train tracks, multiple train tracks. It will have buried infrastructure such as pipelines and wires and cables and fiber optic. It will have overhead transmission lines as well for power. And this swath of land will stretch from border to border, essentially, and will be a conduit for NAFTA merchandise traveling north and south.
But it really, of course, it's really going to begin in mid or southern Mexico, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
So it's going to go all the way from southern Mexico, or at least well down in Mexico, to the deep water ports there, all the way through Mexico, through the United States, up into Canada, and uniting this new North American community.
Exactly. And goods that are now being offloaded in ports in the United States, for instance, those goods will be shifted to the deep water ports in Mexico, put on express trains, and moved without stopping at the border. They'll move directly from those places in Mexico straight up to Kansas City, where they'll be offloaded and rearranged and stuff and shipped out across our country without border checks.
And really, this is part of this plan.
It is.
To shift all of our manufacturing to China and to Malaysia and to India. The whole idea, this is a long-range plan, is to deindustrialize the United States and as a result to impoverish our people.
Yes.
Basically to lower our living standards and to raise the living standards elsewhere in the world. After all, shouldn't we want to share our wealth with other nations? That's the plan. You can read the Earth Charter. They refer to equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Now, what they're talking about, equitable distribution of wealth within nations, that means redistributing your wealth, not the wealth of the wealthy, of course, but your wealth to others, and then between nations, the wealth of America, our nation, to the other nations of the world. And you do this, of course, by shutting down manufacturing in the United States, bringing in massive amounts of manufactured goods from other countries, and with that, of course, the loss of our sovereignty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood of August Review. And Patrick, it almost seems like there's a master plan behind all of this. If somebody's going to invest hundreds of billions of dollars, several hundred billions of dollars, they must have a plan. They must know exactly what they're doing. You don't invest that sort of money unless you have a plan and you know it's going to pay off very, very richly.
Well, exactly, and we see these plans going back a long, long ways, Dr. Stan. And of course, you know, unfortunately, most Americans hate history. So anything back farther than 25 years, you know, you can't get anybody to listen to at all. But in the current context of things here, things like the Trans-Texas Corridor, which we've been talking about here, Governor Perry in Texas did not invent the Trans-Texas Corridor. He did not invent the NAFTA superhighway. He did not invent NAFTA, for that matter, nor did he invent CAFTA or anything else. He's a player. But I would point out that the NAFTA corridor was in planning stages long before Governor Perry became the governor of Texas. And I would point out for people to think and remember who was governor of Texas prior to Governor Perry. That was none other than our current president, George W. Bush. And as far as Texas is concerned, the planning, the groundwork that was laid for the Trans-Texas Corridor was clearly done by then-Governor George W. Bush, who left it on the table for his successor, Governor Perry, to pick up and continue while he was in the White House, to continue the policy in the White House level, while Governor Perry continued it on the state level. This sounds rather nefarious, and it also sounds rather explanatory as to why why President Bush has insisted on leaving the Mexican border open. Because if the Mexican border was truly closed off, like we citizens know it should be, if our southern border was closed, the NAFTA superhighway would be dead in its tracks, and so would NAFTA, and so would the North American Union. And so would the SPP. They'd all be dead in their tracks if immigration was stopped and if the border was closed. That's the big reason why he's not closing the border on the southern border, because keeping an open border is essential for the success, in their eyes, for the success of the North American Union. They must do that.
But, of course, the president has sworn to uphold our Constitution and maintain and enforce our laws, and he's not doing it.
Well, here, even though there may not be any communication between Governor Perry and President Bush today, you have a situation of a conflict of interest of highest magnitude.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood, and we're going to get to the discussion here in just a moment. But before we do, I want Patrick to tell you about his website, how you can get in touch with him and get the excellent information he has there on many subjects dealing with globalism, the Trilateral Commission, and, of course, this whole betrayal of the heritage, the laws, the future of our nation. So how can people get in touch with you and get your information and maybe even read the Trilateral Commission book that you wrote back in the late 1970s?
Well, absolutely, Dr. Stan. They can go to www.augustreview.com, and the material there is at no charge. We're a nonprofit organization. We do accept contributions and support. But the information is free for anyone to read. We have some mailing lists that people can subscribe to as well for free newsletters and updates as they become available. And all people are welcome to come and be a part and spread it around as well. We're not selfish with our information. We want to get it into people's hands. And your listeners can do that more effectively than I can. So they need to do that, and there's lots of information there. Hopefully it will open their eyes to a few things and actually give them some ammunition to go back and confront a few people that that maybe they couldn't straighten out correctly, and now they have the information they can.
Now again, the website is?
It's augustreview.com.
www.augustreview.com.
August like the month. It was a hot time. You might say.
All right. Well, Patrick, of course, was talking about how certainly the planning for the Trans-Texas Highway was underway long before Governor Perry became the governor. It was underway when President Bush was the governor of the state of,
right.
of Texas, and you have to understand this is long-range planning. And
yes.
And so this is one reason why President Bush is not trying to stop immigrants coming across our border, because if they were to enforce border security, if they were to say this is a border of a sovereign nation, why, of course, this NAFTA highway would be dead in the water, because there's not to be any serious monitoring of the troop of the trucks coming into America. If they were ready to declare we were a sovereign nation, this whole idea of the Security and Prosperity Partnership could not be invoked. The real purpose behind leaving our border open is the fact that the people in positions of power do not believe in sovereign nations. They want to begin to merge them, step by step. A North American Union, an American Union, a World Union, a New World Order. A Novus Ordo Seclorum, the ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. So, as we see this thing unfolding, how are we going to convince the American people there's a problem, and how are we going to really make them understand that the America we have known and loved, and it will soon become only a remembrance of things past unless they're willing to get involved?
Well, they're going to be taken one at a time, I'm afraid, Dr. Stan. It's just one by one that people are going to have to be educated and wake up to this. But fortunately, the pressures of life in America today are giving a great incentive for people to open their eyes. This incentive is perhaps wasn't quite as great 20 years ago, but today it is, because the pressures in the world, what people see, they know something is screwy. When people see corporations making the record profits of all time, like Exxon in this last month, announced record profits, the most profit any company ever earned in history in 1 year. And at the same time, Americans are barely able to get by holding down two jobs or three jobs or four jobs between a married couple. And they're scraping by, going in the hole, borrowing more and more money every year, can't pay the interest on the credit cards, can't hardly service the mortgage on their house. And they're saying, if everybody's making all this money, how come I'm getting further behind every month? Now, I call this incentive. This gives people an incentive to open their eyes, because now it's getting their pocketbook, you see. It's their pocketbook that's getting squeezed. And they know something is wrong. And what they need to see now is that, okay, guys, over here, let us tell you what's wrong. This is what's wrong. We're being gouged. You've been gouged. We've been plundered. You've been plundered. And we need to do something about it and stop this, or we will have no country left. Just that simple. We will kill the goose that laid the golden egg. If we don't stop this lunacy of creating a North American Union. And so I think it's more easy for people to get turned on to this today than it has been in a long, long time, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think it should be increasingly obvious to people that we've been lied to, by our leaders for a long period of time. Our leaders have a different agenda. They have a different worldview. And the important thing, I think, is for people to go to the various websites where this is laid out. And would you like to tell people where they could go to get information on the Security and Prosperity Partnership, perhaps where they could go and get information on the information that's been gotten under the Freedom of Information Act, certainly by Dr. Corsi, Judicial Watch, where they can actually read the government documents that talk about how this is going to be executed by stealth? That was one of the phrases used in the material that they got by Judicial Watch. They're going to execute this program by stealth. In other words, they're going to conceal it from the American people.
That's right. The American people are, like I said earlier, they're just kind of cannon fodder. They view us with great contempt. And their work is important. Our work is not. And so they don't feel any compulsion to share all this information with us. But yes, your listeners can go to stopspp.org. They can go to judicialwatch.org. They can go to spp.gov and see the government's official website. I have a link on my homepage at August Review to a page on the university, on Arizona State University. Dr. Stan, you may have seen this page. The university there has a department that has launched this webpage called Building North America, and is subtitled The Impact of Economic Integration. This is the university, this is Arizona State University, and this is happening across America right now. Universities are being fed this information to teach classes about building the North American community. And they're teaching this at the university level to people, to all, you know, any class that has to do with, you know, other than like physics or math or whatever, that has to do with a wider scope of society, are being taught things about building North America, and they're integrating this information into the curriculum. It's absolutely incredulous. And in spite of things like this that we see at ASU, the Assistant Secretary of Commerce just last month was confronted by Dr. Corsi about the about SPP and about, you know, this whole business of the super corridor and stuff, and he says, well, that doesn't, you know, that's just a myth. That doesn't exist. That's just an urban legend, he called it. Literally, I mean, that was a quote. He called it urban legend. And
These people are lying.
It's incredulous. It's just incredulous.
Well, when you understand these people see nothing wrong with lying, lying's perfectly all right. Idea, of course, is to win, to accomplish their goal of destroying the sovereignty of our nation. That is their goal. And, of course, integrity, honesty, these people don't understand it because they have a different worldview.
Well, the good news is we're closing in on them to some extent, Dr. Stan, because they are lying more openly now than they ever did before. That tells us that we're getting close and they're getting defensive. And secondly, we see some signs. For instance, spp.gov put up a web page called Myths versus Facts. And, you know, it's twisted logic, but they felt enough heat that they had to defend themselves by putting up this Myth versus Facts page. Of course, everything we say is a myth and everything they say is a fact.
I think it's probably just the opposite. I mean, they say
it is just the opposite.
Right.
But then we had, last month, we had Michael Medved, a national talk show personality, who was a pretty much a pro-globalist and a pro-free trader. He did a complete meltdown on the air and as well in print, accusing and criticizing anybody that has said anything about the NAU or about the SPP. He literally went into a rage of expletive deleted. Called, you know, people like you and I, call us, you know, jerks and cranks and nutcakes and, you know, fantasy seekers and whatever. When you see that kind of reaction coming out of people, that means that you got their goat.
And I think what's even more important is a realization that these people, of course, Medved pretends to be a conservative. He's not. He's playing a game. But, you know, if you can't discuss the issue, why you attack the attacker. If you don't like the message, you attack the messenger. Mm-hmm. And so you try to discredit them. You try to draw attention away from what the issue is. It's
right.
A standard a technique that's been used over and over again. And you defame them, you insult them, you ridicule them. But you never want to discuss the issue.
Yeah.
And, of course, we want to stick on the issue. We don't want to get into name-calling. As once they begin calling names, we've got them. We can get people to realize what they're doing. They are afraid to talk about the issue.
Yes.
As Michael Medved is. And
exactly.
As Rush Limbaugh is. As is Sean Hannity is. And Senator Brian Williams. These people are paid very well not to tell the truth or to reveal the truth, but rather to conceal the
yes.
truth. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Patrick Wood, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Are you concerned about the move to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and merge us first into a North American Union and then into a New World Order, with new world rulers. So anyway, of course, I agree with you. I think there's a growing awareness out across America. In fact, we had a woman call in from Spokane in the last hour. We had Jerome Corsi on the line, Dr. Corsi, and she was just saying an awful lot of people up here in Spokane are well aware of what's going on. So I think that there's a growing awareness across America, and certainly the work you're doing and what you're publishing, and then of course talk radio, conservative talk radio, is getting information out that was never available before.
Exactly, it's a very important medium right now, and it's no wonder that the government is attempting or would like to again regulate talk radio. With all this fairness doctrine and stuff, and trying to get, you know, equal time for opposing views and stuff.
Okay. But well, it's a very Jeannie Sodeman who's calling in here. Hi, Jeannie, how are you doing?
Well, I'm just dandy, Dr. Stan. Oh, you've got the right man on, because this question has been in the back of my mind. In Santa Cruz County, they are having workshops on the Transportation Task Force. And they want to widen Highway 1 and also by the rail line. How does this tie in with what you're talking about, spp.gov?
Wow, that's a good question. We've been talking about the NAFTA super corridor through Texas and up through Kansas City and so on. And that corridor has gotten a lot of attention because it's the first corridor that's being developed. In a big way, and it's gotten some extra press. But I want to point out that the corridor system of NAFTA embraces the entire country. There are corridors set aside on the map right now, east and west, north and south, from coast to coast and up and down the coast. And it looks very much like the arteries in a body, you know, that go out into the limbs and so on. And this is, you know, anywhere you see rail activity in America today, I don't care where it is, if you see rail activity or unusual highway activity, it should be immediately investigated to find out what the heck's going on. Chances are it has something to do with the NAFTA corridor system that's being implemented across the country. It is a master plan. It's well documented, and it's well publicized. You know, we have the maps. We know what, you know, where these things are. And we see them popping up all over the place. I was just down in Yuma a month ago, and there's a railroad track being pushed up from Yuma because we found out there's a new deep water port being put down at Punta Colonet, south of San Diego on the peninsula, Mexican peninsula. And it's going to be coming right to the agricultural area, ripping up farm ground again with eminent domain, and it's going to meet up with the east-west track that goes from Los Angeles to all the way to Florida, and that's part of this network. It's the same thing. So keep your eyes open.
The highways, because they want us to pay $1.3 billion for this improving highways and buying the rail line.
Ouch.
They would be like feeder lines into the bigger national highways.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. We'd really have to look into a lot more, Jeannie, but that could very well be the case.
Yeah.
Here in our area, of course, we need to widen our Highway 1. We've needed that for a long period of time to do away with the congestion. But putting in a rail line and saying we're going to finance that, you know, by hauling freight for a distance of 6 miles, that's how we're going to finance it. It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. And yet they put out, I think, $250,000 to come up with that conclusion.
Of course, that one extra lane in the Highway 1 is going to be for carpooling. It won't be for individual cars. This is a fascinating program, and it's wonderful you have Patrick Wood on this evening.
God bless. Thanks very much. And let's go to Tom, who's calling us from Florida. Hi, Tom. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, what was that treaty? Was it Peace and Prosperity Treaty that Fox and Bush signed together that kept the borders open while the 911 thing was rolling?
I really don't know anything about that. Do you know anything about it, Patrick?
Well, there was no treaty to start the Security and Prosperity Partnership. It was really just a handshake. between the three lead the heads of state, and they respectively committed to go back and create a counterpart to SPP, and we created, Bush created the Security and Prosperity Partnership under the Department of Commerce. But there was no treaty or even an agreement involved there. It was basically just a handshake, and all the proposed action was going to be at the regulatory level, not at the lawmaking level. And this has worked in progression over a period of years where treaties gave way to agreements which require less congressional approval and are also just basically negotiated by the president and his trade advisor. And now we've seemingly jettisoned the agreement idea, and we're simply just changing regulations.
And, of course, really, of course, we're supposed to be a nation of laws. But what they've done is simply they're above that. They make the decisions. They decide what's good for us common folks. These laws are put in place by bureaucratic edict, not by our legislatures. Well, Patrick, you have 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, gosh, Dr. Stan, there's some. I guess what I'd probably want to say is that there's some hope. There's some reason to have some hope that that there will be a large number of Americans rising up against this in this election year. I think these issues will definitely be raised this year. And how high they get raised is going to be up to the people who, you know, are like listening to your program right now. When they see people who are running for office and so on in this next election cycle, who are raising these issues, your listeners need to rally behind those people and support them and say, right on, get after them. You know, get out there and make it an issue, and support them financially, support them morally, encourage them. And get your friends and neighbors to encourage them as well, and get behind them, and really make a push, and let the people know that are doing this that we will not put up with this without a fight. We will not put up without a fight.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand what's at stake. What's at stake is our freedom, our sovereignty, really, of course, everything you have, because if this goes through, it will destroy the value of our currency. With the value of your currency destroyed, you will lose everything materially you have, and you will be impoverished. And that, I believe, is the real plan.
That's right. Dr. Robert Pastor has called for the North American Union to be implemented by 2010. That's 3 years away, Dr. Stan. And we're in a position in America right now, if I could liken it to a game of Texas Hold'em, which probably most people understand because they watch it on TV for recreation. We're in a condition right now that in Texas Hold'em would be when you're down to your last chips, and you think, well, I've got a pretty good hand, you push all your chips that you have left into the middle of the table, and you declare that you're all in. That's the buzzword, you're all in. And that means that if you lose, everything you have is gone. You're out of the game. And if you win, you get the whole pot. We're in that condition right now as a nation. We are all in. Every chip we have is on the table now, and there are no chips being held back anywhere. So if we lose this hand, we're done. That's it. If we lose this hand, we're all done. That's the stakes that we're up against right now.
Well, our job, of course, is to get the information out, and if you're out there in the listening audience, go to Patrick Wood's website, www.augustreview.com. Pull down his material, get it, understand the organizations working behind the scenes who have a different worldview. They don't believe in individual freedom. They believe in rule by the elite. Get his material on trial after commission. Good night, Patrick. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Good night, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Patrick Wood and with Jerome Corsi this evening. And we had Patrick Wood on this afternoon. And we're going to put together a 4-tape set so you'll have this information available at your fingertips. You can listen to it a number of times. You can begin checking those websites. You can begin getting the information together and talking to everyone you know. Because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who hate America, who have no loyalty to this nation, and they're working at the highest levels of our government, indeed in the White House itself. That is why they have not closed the border. They have not closed the border because, of course, they want to unite the United States and Mexico. If there was really a threat from terrorism, they would have supported the border. They're using the threat of terrorism to establish a police state in America. If you doubt that, you need to get our 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act. That goes into the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act. Then, of course, you need to get our 4-tape set on concentration camps, or our videos on America Behind Barbed Wire, or the amazing clips. Or better still, you can get them all together in the concentration camp special, where we, of course, we bundle things together at an extra good price and provide the information you need to understand what's going on in the world today. Freedom is lost when good people are not involved. To understand what's going on, you have to understand the esoteric forces, the spiritual forces at work. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Why you need to get my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. And of course, this occult hierarchy lives in another dimension. To understand that dimension, you need to get the book we carry, Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin, Father Malachi Martin, and get our 4-tape interviews with Malachi Martin. You get them along with the book at a specially reduced price. You need to get the new book we're carrying, Satanic Crimes. You need to get this information, then you need to help us get it out across America. You see, you really can't understand this move towards the New World Order, this one world government, unless you understand that this is an ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. This is an ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. And as George Bush concluded his first inaugural address on the 20th of January, 2001, the angel still rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. The angel still rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. You need to get my various articles on the meaning of that statement. We have a new video we're going to be making available. It's based upon a talk we gave last week, and it will explain to you how this all fits together. But read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Certainly get the material we've talked about. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Remember, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and you can get all the details there at radioliberty.com. Your job is to tell other people about our programs, to tell them about the Security and Prosperity Partnership, about the Trans-NAFTA Highway. This is not something imaginary. I've been at this game for 44 years, and we are at the end of the game. We either take back America, or freedom as we know it will disappear like yesterday's sunset, never to be seen again. So please consider seriously joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us. We're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if there's not a spiritual revival in America, God will never again bless this country. We need a third greater revival in America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.